from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Well, for the second week in a row, the Chiefs went to an opponent, got a win out of it, and had a wide receiver just explode, folks. The top story today, DeMarcus Robinson steps up in the place of Tyreek Hill. And Patrick Mahomes was able to find him early, often, over and over, at least in the second quarter. And the Chiefs get victory number two, head off that regression talk, and get out of Oakland having a positive winning record for the history of that Coliseum. Very exciting day, Chris. Big takeaway on DeMarcus Robinson, right?
Absolutely. He played a phenomenal game. I've never seen him play like that. That is the type of talent that you thought that you got at wide receiver when he first came to Kansas City, but that's not the type of game that we've seen him play to this point.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've been hard on him. And I have to give him credit. The first touchdown was a blown coverage, but did his job, took advantage of it. Nice hookup there. But I have to say that second touchdown, the ball was underthrown a touch. It might have been a back shoulder. Maybe that's where the placement was supposed to be. But that catch was 75% Robinson rather than what is normally the throw by Mahomes that really makes a play like that.
Absolutely. I think Robinson looked phenomenal on the day. He absolutely came out ready to play. And I will have to go back and rewatch, you know, game pass to kind of see if they were rolling coverage to Sammy Watkins and doubling him. They gave Robinson one-on-one, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Robinson on what he did, but we haven't seen him do this in a Chiefs uniform. We've seen him make a play or two. He made play after play after play today, and he showed up big when Kansas City really needed him.
Absolutely, and this is the thing, and I tweeted this out at halftime, and it changed a little bit through the second half, although clearly they didn't have to do much in the second half, but as of halftime, he was perfect. DeMarcus Robinson still ends the day as the only guy perfect. Six targets, six receptions, two touchdowns, and 172 yards, almost eclipsing what Sammy Watkins did in week one.
Well, and you have to remember, he also had a bigger catch, in my opinion, that got called back on a penalty that would have put him close to 200 yards. And I'm trying to remember, there was a holding penalty that got it called back, but like I said, he played a phenomenal game. I also have to give credit where credit is due. Mecole Hardman looks like he is more of a veteran wide receiver with some of his plays. He struggled a little bit early in the game, but he made some very veteran-type moves late in the game.
And when you think about this, when you mentioned penalties, 172 for Robinson, 107 for Kelsey. Had that play not been called back, Hardman goes for 130. That's what you're getting from multiple people, and I said this at half. Multiple pass catchers stepping up in the place of Hill.
Absolutely. And, you know, honestly, I have to give credit to Cam Irving as well. He struggled early in the game. I think he settled down in the second half and played a lot better. And I don't know why they even tried playing Fisher because it didn't look like he was comfortable out there from the get-go.
You know, and I thought from what little I could see it, where it did look like he was comfortable. Maybe it was just, you know, a false step. And when the actual action begins, that's what catches up with you. But all in all, that just sped up the necessity for play to come from the wide receiver spot, from the tight end spot, for someone to make up for it. And again, DeMarcus Robinson stepping outside of himself. Yes, he had an 89-yard game. That was his career high. And that was all on one play against these same Raiders, the game that I went to last year, the home finale. Again, on a blown play, a blown coverage. So again, like we said all offseason, DeMarcus Robinson makes plays when there are opportunities. He takes advantage of what he's given, but he stepped up his game in a much more well-rounded way today.
Absolutely. And you know, when you start looking at what that means for this team, if you can go four deep at wide receiver and be successful, that's going to be impossible to stop this offense in the future.
Absolutely. What are you going to do? You take away Watkins? Okay, Hill will just set records. You take away Hill? I mean, and that's the thing. From early coverage that I saw, again, it's hard to see the safeties on the broadcast. I'll check film as well. It looked like they were making a concerted effort against Sammy. And Sammy did get 13 targets, high on the team. So clearly there was part of the game plan there that was directed at that. But that's exactly what you want. If they're going to try to take away one single player, the others have to step up. And today, that's what both the younger guys did.
Absolutely. And with those guys stepping up, it allowed you to do what Patrick does best, and that's throw the ball down the field. And at one point, he had 5 straight completions over 30 yards. But we need to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be discussing what else went right for Kansas City in this game.
I want to tell you about Vivid Seats, the online event ticket marketplace that's dedicated to fans of live entertainment and sports. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams or artists perform in person, earning credit back on all purchases made through Vivid Seats via the app Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program. They can help you find those club-level seats at Arrowhead that you've been looking at, or find a concert anywhere around town, maybe see a theater show. And great prices aren't the only thing. They have an internal, in-app only loyalty program called Vivid Seats Rewards. And with these rewards, ranging from an MVP to a Hall of Famer, customers can earn up to 10 to 16% credit on all their purchases through the app for the month of August. Just go to your favorite app store and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. All Vivid Seats are confirmed orders and are backed by 100% guarantee. And best of all for our listeners, if you enter our promo code KICKOFF at checkout, you can receive a discount of up to $100. That's KICKOFF when you check out in the Vivid Seats app.
All right, where do you want to start? Because there's a lot to talk about in this game that was just crazy. You saw the first half. Kansas City couldn't do anything right on offense, and defense looked like it was going to get torched.
Right, and you know, and on the positive, I know we're trying to be positive this segment. Well, on the positives, the defense woke up because they looked like they didn't get off the bus that first drive or two, allowing the Raiders to get out to a 10-0 lead at home on a day that they're pumped up coming off of a good win against a division rival as well. It looked like it was going to be a long day early, and they took it in stride. They didn't panic. Spags saw what he needed to see, made his adjustments. And I thought from that point forward, you saw a lot better scheme and guys making plays. Now, nobody was perfect. There were a couple of problems that we'll get to here in the next segment. But I thought overall, I thought the defense did what it had to do.
Absolutely, and they created 2 turnovers on the day as well, which obviously really helped in the second half. You look at what this defense is going to be, and we've said it from the start, it's going to take some time to get into a rhythm to try to get the chemistry on this defense. And honestly, we still really haven't seen much from Frank Clark or Tyrann Mathieu in this defense yet. I think they take a big step forward in the next couple weeks.
And that's one thing that I will say I am looking forward to, because I still feel like the pass rush overall isn't there. They're not getting enough pressure consistently enough. There are straight plays here and there. Chris Jones made a couple of nice plays early. A ticky-tack call that I thought was ridiculous, but made a couple TFLs. Tyrann Mathieu with a couple TFLs, including his first sack. So not getting sack and pressure numbers from where you expect it. So you still have to feel like this is going to improve as they get, you know, really going in this first quarter of the season.
Absolutely. And, you know, Frank Clark didn't get a sack today, but I saw him multiple times put Colton Miller on skates. He put Colton Miller in Derek Carr's face. He disrupted plays. He didn't get home, but he's still making plays for this defense.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's what you have to have. And this goes back to the concept of pressure is just as important as sacks. Sacks need to finish, but you need to get pressure. You need to beat your man. And like you said, that matchup for Frank didn't pay off, but it was there. He was winning. And that's why, I feel like this is still a work in progress. This is still getting used to the rhythm, the way that Spags is going to call things. As you saw, he did dial up some blitzes later. I thought that helped, and I feel like that helps in general get the defense feel like they're able to make an impact and they can kind of let themselves loose.
Absolutely. And then you start talking about different blitzes, different exotic blitzes, sending Mathieu a couple times during the game. Fuller obviously got home and got a sack. Those types of plays happen when you start figuring out what the offense is doing. And I will not lie, I was a little concerned when you saw Kansas City get down 10-0 to Oakland in the first quarter. Oakland came out, they played hard, they were fired up, their fans were fired up, and it looked like it could go very bad for Kansas City very quickly.
It could, but that second quarter became really what is my biggest positive takeaway, is that despite what I feel still looks like an ankle that's bothering him, maybe not drastically, but
absolutely,
it definitely changed his delivery I mean, just think about some of these passes they threw basically with all arm and wrist, with no leg drive out of it. The fact that Pat Mahomes was able to get into the game rhythm, staying in the pocket with a play style that is not natural for him. I felt like that showed not only, you know, dedication to what he's doing, but maturity in being able to adapt his game on the go when he needed to do it.
Absolutely. He definitely looked like he was not playing at 100%. He was not stepping into throws. I think that's part of the reason that the offense looked off so early is because Mahomes wasn't setting his feet and he was throwing the ball over targets and missing them. But that obviously changed in the second quarter.
It did. And everything kind of came together. Now, we'll talk about some of the drawbacks from this game here in a couple of minutes. But that rhythm, that ability to, A, he got time. Like you said, Cam Irving settled down. A lot of penalties in this game, some of them on the offensive line, some of them legit, some not. But I thought that really allowed...
Some real questionable calls.
Right. But I thought that allowed Pat Mahomes to get into that rhythm and really fire at all cylinders. The second half looked like, you know, things tightened up at half and it kind of settled back down. But, you know, that quarter of football is enough to earn you this win.
Absolutely. And, you know, you talk about the offensive line getting called for holding. I'll take LeSean McCoy's hold all day long, every day. Uh-huh. And that was on Mecole Hardman's long touchdown. If he doesn't take Burflick on, Burflick gets a clean shot on Mahomes. And I'm not sold that he's gotten over his dirty player status. I'm not letting him take that shot. I will take that penalty every single day.
Absolutely. And the same thing for, I think it was Reader that could have been called on that one in particular as well.
Yep.
And that's really what it comes down to is, you know, protect the franchise at all costs. And folks, you can say that you have a problem with that attitude or that philosophy, but Pat Mahomes is the MVP. He is the franchise. Nothing against Matt Moore, but should you allow him to be hit unnecessarily, that can end this season in a heartbeat.
But he's regressing this year, right?
Oh, right, right. Yeah, there's that. You know, and a lot of talk about regression. And, you know, and I even said, okay, maybe he'll slow down a little bit. Maybe he'll only throw 45 touchdowns. Well, now he's on pace to be a little bit better than last season. I don't know if that's going to hold up or not. But I think next week looks like it's going to be another one where he's going to be pretty at home having to move the ball down the field. I think Lamar Jackson's off to a good start. So I see that this regression talk is probably a bit overblown.
Well, I do think it's funny. He became the only quarterback in Chiefs history to have a second 400-yard passing game, and he's 18 games into his career at this point. Yeah, that's insane. And honestly, he's actually not on pace for what he was last year at this time because last year he had 10 TDs in the first 2 weeks. So this year he's behind.
Oh, well, I think total though, on track for 56 is what I saw.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, no, you're right on that. I'm just saying he's behind where he was last year.
And I'll tell you this. I think the other thing you see, not only is the regression a little bit overblown, but the maturity, the leadership, I think is there because I thought one of the major differences, the big plus on the offensive side of the ball today was just despite not being able to move. Despite having some calls that are going against you, especially late in that one drive, multiple conversions on third down, hitting plays. I mean, the hands grab that Travis Kelce made in an effort to make sure that he got that first down and kept that drive alive. Great effort by both players, but that's the kind of thing that you didn't necessarily see last season. That is again, flowing downhill from the quarterback to everyone else.
Absolutely. And somehow he's on another level than he was on last season. And he blew everybody away last year. And he's not healthy. Like we've already talked about, he did not step into throws. He was not stepping into most of his throws all day today. He found a way to make it more to where he was more accurate, but he's still not himself because he wasn't moving around in the pocket like he normally does, and trying to extend plays.
Absolutely. And that is something that, you know, has to be a concern down the road. We had to find out about Fisher. You're going to hear talk about Rankin. I don't know that he's anywhere close to being able to contribute yet. So it looks like it's Irving for now. But in just a minute, we'll come back and talk about some of the things that still need to be worked on. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can improve your performance and have that extra confidence.
Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom.
Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package with no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
So a couple of things that stood out to me. Clearly, the defense got off to a slow start. Obviously, the offense did as well. Have to cut these penalties out, and uncharacteristically, have to cut them out on special teams.
Yep. Yeah, and that's really rough because they keep getting called for penalties that are going to put them in horrible field position. But Kansas City had, what, two drives in a row that were 95 and 94 yards for touchdowns? Just ridiculous offensive efficiency from them. But you're absolutely right. You cannot have those penalties on special teams. And honestly, I understand, and this was a great point pointed out by Lyle Graverson on Twitter, that Dave Tobe has always had his returners try to return the ball if they think they have room. But you cannot try to catch the punt within 3 yards of the end zone. You just can't. You're putting yourself in a horrible position.
Yeah, absolutely. And that sets the whole tone of that drive. And you can take the wind out of the sails of the offense by doing that.
Yeah, and in that specific situation, I believe, and I could be wrong on this, but I'm 99% sure, if he lets that ball go, it goes into the end zone. If they call a penalty at that point, they can, but then they get the ball on the 10 as opposed to the ball on the 5.
Absolutely.
And so I still don't know how they got the ball on the 5. That was interesting because I thought he caught the ball and that's where the penalty happened. But regardless, it does make a difference. It ended up not mattering in this game, but it will matter during the season. And if you're going to be returning punts, you cannot catch the ball inside the 5-yard line.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I want to point out another thing that has to get cleaned up, and it may have a chance without a major move, even though we've been hearing so much about moves. Reggie Ragland inactive again. It doesn't sound from his social media accounts like he's very happy about it. It still makes me feel like he's trade bait or going to be included in a trade at some future point. So that's where I'm coming from with that. But specifically, one of the guys available that we'll talk about here this week is comfortable in the slot. And I feel like Fuller started the day really poorly. In-man coverage, got beat for the Williams touchdown, the only touchdown of the game, and just didn't look good. And that's honestly what had me a bit concerned because it just looked deflated. Breland didn't look good early either. But I will say, Fuller came back, had a nice pass breakup at one point. Even though the call did not go against him, the one that was reviewed, and he did make a good stab at the ball. His veteran moves, this is 2 weeks in a row where he's made veteran moves in basically holding on to receivers. Eventually that's going to get called. Eventually it's going to cost them big. I think that he is a little bit in trouble still playing right now. I don't know if it's physical or not, but despite a bounce back later in this game, I still am concerned about Kendall Fuller.
And I can definitely understand being concerned about him. What I will say about Kendall Fuller is that pass breakup that did not get called for defensive pass interference ended up being the turning point in the game. If they get that call, it completely changes the game because at that point, Kansas City's down 10-0, I think. And then you're still sitting there and they're getting ready to go down for maybe a third score. So huge for them to be able to not have that play.
Yeah, and I want to see him down. And I think Spags understands where he's at. I think Spags is seeing the same thing that I am because late in the game, what you saw, I think it was Renfro, because Renfro he's quick. I told you guys about him during the draft process. He's a guy that really cuts in and out of his cuts very well. Reminds me of a slightly slower Julian Edelman. And I think he was eating Fuller up. And late in the game, you saw them switch out and Ward went in to the interior guy. And with Fuller a bit, I think it was the second guy on a three wide receiver side. And I thought that that worked out better because it allowed Fuller to play off, which he's clearly more comfortable in, and allowed Ward to get in there and try to disrupt routes, which he's clearly better at. So I don't know if Spags is going to go for a full-time conversion of those two, but I liked what I saw late.
That's going to be something to watch going into next week. It's going to be a big game with Marquise Brown on the ledger for next week. You know, the Ravens are going to be a very interesting team for this team to play because they have been scoring a lot of points, although they haven't been playing great teams. So the question is it that they're really that great, or have they just been playing bad teams? We'll find out next week in Kansas City. But when you're starting to talk about what Ward did and what Fuller did, I was actually really impressed with what I saw from Ward for most of the day. He looked very good in coverage, even when he did get beat. And this is something that's impressed me with the DBs this season so far. They have done a fantastic job of getting the guy down. If they're not getting him down, they're at least stopping him and letting people swarm to the ball and get the tackle. We haven't seen that in the past, and that's really hurt Kansas City.
Absolutely. And you're right. The recovery of the play has been consistently good, and I think that's a feather in his cap. I think if they can go on and they can settle into better technique in establishing the coverage and not getting the ball, allowing the ball to be caught, I think that's really where the turning point will come. And maybe they can do that. Maybe it doesn't have to be new personnel.
It's possible it doesn't have to be, but at the same time, you would think that they're still looking to make a move, especially with the roster move or with the cap space that they opened up a couple of weeks ago. You would think that they're still looking to making a move. And honestly, you know, you have a situation in Miami where, you know, they haven't scored a point offensively, I think, or maybe they scored last the first week, but they've been blown out twice and are losing like 100 to what, a negative 92 point differential right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just insane for an NFL team. So you have to wonder if they're going to be moving some players, because right now it doesn't look like they can even compete.
No, it certainly doesn't. And I am concerned about that. I don't know if it really helps the Chiefs or not. That's going to be the question here. And we'll hear more about it. It's only going to get better in terms of the amount of talking that everyone will be doing about this subject. But before we wrap, I do want to say that another concern of mine is, especially on a day when Mahomes did need to protect himself. And by the way, good job getting out of the way of that block with Damian Williams, Patrick. Thank you. We're all happy. The run game was not there.
It was a business decision.
You know, it's disappointing for me to see that neither Williams or McCoy could get going in the run game. It didn't bite them today, but it will bite them in the future if they can't get that figured out.
No, you're absolutely right, and it will definitely be something that they've got to get figured out in the coming weeks. It was just reported that Damian Williams left with a knee contusion on his right knee, and LeSean McCoy left with an ankle injury. That's why you saw Damian Williams and Darwin Thompson in the backfield at the end of the game.
Yeah, and both of them didn't get a whole lot of looks. We'll see what the snap counts were. I didn't even count them. But Darryl and Darwin, there you go. I mean, this is why there's four backs on this roster, folks.
Well, yeah, and Anthony Sherman obviously can be somebody that they could trot out there as well. So lots of different options that they have. You have to wonder if Damian and LeSean will be available next week. You would hope so. A little too early to decide on that, though.
Absolutely. But again, they have a power back, and they have a guy that they can use as a third down back if they want. I mean, honestly, Darryl can play all three downs. We're not even going to go there. And you know what I think of rushing Sherman. So I'm all for tank time.
Now, one thing I will say that was interesting to me in this game is Mahomes had that fumble, and that was a fumble. It was a great call. It looked like a fumble to me from the start, but you know, he got sacked twice because that technically counts as a sack. First two sacks and 121 pass attempts. The offensive line actually has been playing pretty well. He has been hit. He has been pressured. But he hasn't been getting sacked, and that's a great sign moving forward.
Yeah, and I put that as much on Patrick as I do the line. The line's had some problems. They've allowed some pressure, but Patrick's been able to make up for it. I think the six of them are working well to not get him on the ground and to get the ball out. So kudos to all of them.
Absolutely. And, you know, him and his vision are really what is helping him the most, I think. His ability to find the open guy and, you know, just throw the ball out there, and he makes it look so easy with the way he flicks his wrist and the ball just goes 60 yards down the field.
Right. I mean, and thank you, Patrick. no attempts at no look passes today. I appreciate that one. Let's just keep it simple, okay? 28 points was plenty. So that said, folks, let us know what you think of this game. Hit Locked On Chiefs at Twitter. You can leave a message if you like at 913-777-4457. We'd appreciate that. We've been getting a few voicemails lately, mostly just comments. So if you have questions or you have something you want on the show, please leave it there. We will be back with you tomorrow with more in-depth recovery after we find out injury status and everything else. So, Chris, any parting thoughts?
Again, I have to give credit to two guys. I think Cam Irving played a good game when he started to struggle early. I was afraid of what that was going to mean. But him stepping forward and being able to at least be a decent enough blocker really helped this offense in the second quarter and throughout the rest of the game, even though they didn't put any points on the board. The other guy, we've already talked about it, and we've already been very complimentary of him for this game. But DeMarcus Robinson took a huge step forward. And we have been very harsh on him, but this is the type of game that he needs to have. He made every play that he had the opportunity to make, and he looked phenomenal today. If you can get that from him every single game, he absolutely is going to be a great piece in this offense.
Well, honestly, this is what we've been expecting from him. This is what we've been hoping to see, and we haven't seen it till now. That's why we've been harsh on him. And quite frankly, he needs to have this once every fourth game. In my opinion, because you have four quality receivers. If one of them can explode each game, everything's going to be fine. So kudos to him for today, and let's see when he can repeat it. So, folks, give us your comments at Locked On Chiefs, like I said, and we look forward to that conversation. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Matt will join us, and we have a crossover show coming on Wednesday to talk about the upcoming opponent, the Baltimore Ravens. So thank you for listening today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.